You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50am with Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's National Hunt Racing at Haydock and Taunton, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Polytrack at Lingfield in the afternoon, and more All Weather action to take us through the evening as Wolverhampton stage a card under the floodlights. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio, Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Mark. How are you?
Good. I've enjoyed the last few days. We obviously had Christmas, which is always very nice, and plenty of top-class racing as well, so it's not been a bad old few days, has it?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been some really enjoyable action over the Christmas period, and Kempton was a great 2 days.
It was. We'll talk about some of the action at Kempton and a little bit from Leopardstown on Monday, because the Lexus Chase took place in Leopardstown on Monday. It was won by Dom Polly. In comparison to the King George at Kempton, the King George form seems more prevalent in the Gold Cup at the moment. We've got Jack Adam at 7-2 at the top of the market. Don Cossack is 5-1, 11-2 for Q Card. Dom Polly is 6-1, 8-1 for Vator, and 14s or bigger for the others. What do you make of the Gold Cup at the moment, Craig? Because we've seen one or two clues over the last few days, but has anything really jumped out and stamped this is the Gold Cup winner for you?
I think the King George race, Mark, was strong form. I mean, the way Vator went through that, he went through it like a really good horse. And many will look at that and think that he didn't quite get home at Kempton on Boxing Day. And obviously, look at, you know, the Ryanair chase compared to the Gold Cup. Bearing in mind, he is only going to be a seven-year-old when the Gold Cup comes around. But I think back at Cheltenham, I think he's got to be worth a crack at the Gold Cup. I just thought he went through it like a top-notch chaser. Q Card basically had more stamina in the closing stages and out-battled him, or outstayed him rather. But I still thought it was a really good performance. And let's not forget Don Cossack, who was coming to lay down a big charge and certainly play a hand in the finish at Kempton. And he looked like a horse that would relish the extra couple of furlongs on a stiffer track, as he proved at Cheltenham last year. So yeah, I think the Kempton race is obviously going to be much stronger form than the Lexus, obviously won by Don Polly. It was a very slow time. You know, Don Polly is a horse that, looking at him yesterday, he looked like a slogger in soft ground, but that isn't Don Polly. He's actually a better and a quicker horse on better ground come March. So you know, I'm sure he'll improve on the bare form of his Lexus Chase win, and he's a big player. We've seen how good he is at the festival.
Yeah,
you know, he's going for a third win at Cheltenham in March, and if I had to pick one, Mark, at this stage, I would stick loyal to Vator. I do think he's a very high class chaser.
Okay, I like Don Polly. He's not flashy, is he?
He's
just determined, and you know he's going to stay all day, which is one thing you definitely need in the Gold Cup. That would be my concern with Vator. The fact that he's been outstayed by Q Card, who isn't the strongest stayer, for me, hasn't ever proven that he'll stay the Gold Cup trip. For me, I think Vator would be a certainty in the Ryanair.
Yeah, he would.
And for me, the Gold Cup, I'd be looking at Don Cossack, who I think was coming to win the race and probably would have stayed on stronger than the other two. And Don Polly at the moment for me. And obviously Jack Adam, been runner-up in the race last year as a novice, he's obviously going to come back with a big chance as well. But yeah, I don't know what to make of the King George form, because I've never been convinced that Q Card will stay, and if he's outstayed Vator.
I just like the way Vator went through the race.
He did travel like a dream, didn't he?
And bearing in mind, you know, many people have said that he's a much better horse on a left-handed track. I mean, I didn't think he got beat because of the track at Kempton. Thought he jumped perfectly well, and the difference was he was able to take a lead at Kempton, where at Ascot he's seen a lot of daylight out in front, and he's just started jumping slightly to his left. I think a lot of people got carried away with that jumping performance at Ascot. But, you know, I thought he jumped really well around Kempton, and he certainly didn't get beat because of the track. He looked the winner all the way up the home straight, and I think at Cheltenham it certainly plays more to his strengths.
Yeah,
and he'll be a big player come March.
Either way, if we get all of those turning up,
oh, it'd be brilliant, Mark. Yeah, obviously we've lost Conigree, which is a shame because he would have added another dimension coming to defend his crown.
Yeah.
But he's gone. Let's hope that the rest of these, you know, all make it to the Gold Cup. And we've still got the novice who, you know, could take his chance more of that, who's impressed in two chase starts so far.
Yeah, and it won't be the first time that Jonjo O'Neill have put a quickly improving horse into the Gold Cup.
Yeah, definitely.
Synchronised springs to
mind. And I think, you know, fresh in the mind from Conigree's success last year, it could just persuade them to go Gold Cup rather than RSA.
Mm.
But yeah, very interesting. And yeah, you know, I don't think the Christmas clues have solved the puzzle for March. There's still a lot of water there to pass under the bridge.
It's one of those where you end up with more questions than answers, isn't it?
Definitely. But all the same, that's what we need, isn't it?
Yeah.
We need to keep the pot boiling all the way.
Yeah. Great to look back at that. Staying at Leopardstown just for one more quick chat. Prince of Scars won the Leopardstown Christmas Hurdle over 3 miles. I don't know if we learned too much from the race, apart from that Arctic Fire doesn't stay. What did you make of it?
Yeah, Arctic Fire, you know, struggled to get home over 3 miles. I thought Alpha Desabo probably shaped like the best horse in the race. He'd done all the hard work out in front, and a horse in the same colours, Prince of Scars, come in and picked his pocket in the closing stages. Mark, again, you know, isn't form I'd want to get too carried away with, and I don't think it'll have much of a bearing on the World Hurdle come March. I don't think, you know, any of those three horses, you know, will be involved. Alpha Desabo, like I said, is the one that comes out on top for me, despite finishing second.
Mm.
And if there was one to run well at Cheltenham, it would probably be him.
Right, well, they're both 16-1 shots anyway in the betting for the World Hurdle, so our trader's not entirely convinced either. Anything else on your mind, Craig, before we move on, or should we just...
We should touch on Sprinter Sacra.
Yes.
And Sadi Gruji. That was amazing race to watch as a racing fan, wasn't it? Two excellent 2 mile chasers fighting out the finish, and you know, when Sprinter Sacra comes off the bridle, bearing in mind all these problems and what we've seen in over the last 18 months or so, you know, to see him knuckle down and fight on to see off Sir de Grugy was excellent, Mark. And for me, it was the race of the Christmas.
Yeah, great to see two former champions back to somewhere near the best.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And let's hope they continue to stay at the top of their game.
Mm. The Queen Mother looks quite good as well. Under 7-4, Sprinter Sacra is in there at 7-2, 6-1 side of Grugy, dodging bullets, last year's winner, sevens. Special tiara at tens with Vator if he ended up going there. I don't think he will, but it's a great... great racing prospect as well.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Cheltenham already, Craig.
Yeah, definitely. You know, good race, and on the side, I'm sure they'll be looking to get a quick run into him to put that blood behind him, Mark. He did it last year. You know, he fell early in his chasing career, and he bounced back in fine style. I've always, you know, despite him looking really impressive over fences last year, I was against him in the Arkle just because of his exuberant style.
Mm.
And I've always held that against him. And so we'll be interesting to see what happens on Dassault on his next start. And again, shaping up like a really good renewal.
Yeah, should be good. Anyway, let's leave that there. Let's get stuck into Wednesday's action. Matters a little bit more pressing. We've got four races to look ahead to. Craig's going to talk us through his thoughts and we'll get his selections on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at a couple of races from Haydock and a couple at Taunton. So we'll go through them in time order. The 2 o'clock at Haydock Park is where we start. This one is a Class 2 chase over 3 miles and 3 furlongs. Field of 8 to go to post here, Craig. Who'd you like for this opening race of the preview?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Venetia Williams Yard here and Rigadan Debauchet. A horse that last victory came at this track, Mark, in a Grand National trial. Since then, he slipped an awful long way down in the weights. He's now racing off a mark of 127. But there were some positive signs in his two recent starts at Cheltenham, and particularly at Chepstow last time. He plugged on for fourth behind Tour de Champs on that occasion, and he's able to race off the same mark of 127 here. I mean, it is going to be really testing ground at Haydock. We're expecting a lot more rain on Tuesday afternoon. And, you know, he's a horse that will handle these conditions, and he's got a nice racing weight in 10-11. I think he's the one to side with in the staying event here.
Riggan and DeBusch, and then for Craig in the last fling chase, staying at Haydock for their 2:30 next. This one is a class 3 handicap chase over 2.5 miles, or the extended 2.5 miles, and a field of 6 here, Craig. Should we start with Manila Reception, who's interesting on the form from a while ago, but Nigel Twiston Davis runner hasn't been seen for 496 days.
Yeah, definitely, Mark. I mean, he comes back on what looks a lenient handicap mark of 130. And, you know, one thing he did do in his only chase start so far was impressed with the way he jumped around Force Lass on that occasion. Looking back at the record of him, you know, running fresh after a break isn't all that encouraging. But bearing in mind he's never actually been off for 496 days. So, you know, it's different again for him coming back here. It's all pretty much guesswork. You know, one thing Nigel Twiston Davis has found is a relatively weak race, and I'm just going to side with Friendly Royal in this event, but I do think Manila Reception is the danger. I mean, the rest, you know, Sleepy Haven has his stamina to prove it this trip and hasn't been in the best of form. Midnight Bell hasn't been running any sort of races, and I mean, Elenica, that was a real moody performance. Was well on top at the finish after the you know, being gifted the race at the second last, but he was off and on the bridle, and it wasn't a convincing performance for me. He's only gone up 3 pounds. I think Friendly Royal has improved dramatically this year. Probably better over a little bit further than 2.5 miles, but Danny Cook will ride him positively here. Send him to the front, and I think he can make all with Manila Reception, the biggest danger returning from a long absence.
Mm. I don't think it'd be a bad thing either, the fact that he does stay further if it becomes really heavy ground.
So. Definitely. Yeah. That's probably going to be an advantage over 2.5 at Haydock on Wednesday.
Friendly Royal then for Craig in the 2:30. Moving to Taunton next for their 2:50. This one is a listed Mayor's Novices Hurdle. It's over 2 miles. And just a note as well, it's Taunton that's the money back second meeting on Wednesday. So if you have a bet and your horse finishes second, you get your money back as a free bet up to £25 on all races at Taunton with 5 or more runners. 7 runners here, Craig. So we've got the nice little bonus there if a horse finishes second. What do you like in the 2:50?
Yeah, I like Jasper's Dream. Mark, I've been really impressed with the way she's went about her business at Linkfield and Exeter so far this year, and she looks well worth a step up in class. You know, one thing that she's got is a really rounded knee action, and she relishes really soft conditions, which she's sure to find again on Wednesday. She's really an improving mare by Milan, and I think she can take all the beating in this listed event. Misaka obviously is going to be a big danger for representing Willie Mullins, but she was very novicey over her hurdles on her first start at Thurles last time. You know, one with an awful lot in hand, and looks like she's got a big engine for sure, but she just needs to improve her jumping, and you know, going up in class against better horses, that will be tested. So you know, that would be the slight doubt with Misaka, and that just tips the balance here in the way of Jasper's Dream.
Jasper's Dream then for Craig in that one. And the final race we look at is the 3:25 at Taunton. This one is a class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles and 7 furlongs, a field of 9 here, Craig, and quite an open race really. What do you like in there?
There's nothing stands out here for me at all, Mark, in this event. Therefore, I'm going to take a chance with a horse that has been off for a real long time in the shape of Same Difference. 613 days since we last seen him on the track, and he was then trained by Nigel Twiston Davis, of course, now moved into the capable hands of Warren Greatrix, and he comes back. The handicap has given him a real chance on his return. A mark of 130 here. Last seen racing off 137 when he was pulled up in the Bet365 Gold Cup at Sandown. You know, this is obviously a much easier race, and still only a 9-year-old, I think he could be the one to side with. He is the class act. You know, he creeps in nicely here into this 0-130 event, and I think he's class can tell, Mark, here.
It's interesting you've gone for Same Difference, because I was just looking through this. I backed him for the Kim Muir when he won at the Cheltenham Festival, and obviously back then he was with Nigel Twiston Davis. He was on 137 that day, and he was quite impressive. So like you say, this is easier. He's gone to Warren Greatrix, who's in form, and he wears the cheek pieces for the first time. If he's fit, I think he's got a great chance. So.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that is the big question. Will he be fit enough to do himself justice after he turned? But I think there'll be value in his price, Mark. Mm. You know, I don't think he's going to be a short price. I think there'll be value in his price. And like you said, he's been, you know, contesting graded handicaps when last seen for Nigel Twiston Davis. This is a much easier assignment on his return, and Yeah, I think he'll go well. He looks like he could be worth chancing round about the 6-7-1 mark.
Singing from the same hymn sheet with the same difference, then good stuff, Craig.
Will you be napping him tomorrow, Mark?
I don't know. If I nap him, it's a £10 penalty, so I might handicap him out of it if I nap him. Let's just have a little bit of a summary, Craig, if you'll spin us through your four selections for Wednesday one more time.
Yeah, we're going back to Haydock for the 2 o'clock, Rigadan de Beauchere for Venetia Williams. In the 2:30 at Haydock, Friendly Royal for Sue Smith. In the 2:50, the men's listed hurdle at Taunton, Jesper's Dream to complete the hat-trick for Harry Fry. And finally, in the 3:25 at Taunton, same difference to defy an absence of 613 days.
Superb. Good work, Craig. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it. Be in the studio, won't you, on Wednesday?
I will, Mark. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Good stuff. There's the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Wednesday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. He'll be in the studio with Gareth Topham and Ollie Pimlott for the meetings at Haydock, Taunton and Lingfield on Wednesday afternoon and Wolverhampton in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.